Today's podcast is sponsored by Glascott Funeral Homes.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is your host, Father Narek Tertarian from St. Sarkis Armenian Apostolic Church in Douglaston. Welcome to a new episode of the podcast. Today's episode is coming to you from Whitensville, Massachusetts. As a matter of fact, we are recording this session from the sanctuary of St. Asvazazin Church. This is a church where I'm visiting for the first time because our annual clergy conference is taking place here in this parish. And our host is Der Mikhail Der Khosrovian, who has been ordained recently. He was on the podcast a few months ago, right before his ordination. And today we are glad to be in his parish. Today I am joined with my clergy brothers. I have with us Der Antranik Baljan, who is the pastor of St. Stephen's Church in Watertown, Massachusetts. We have Der Gomidas Baksarian, who is the pastor of St. Vartanan Church in Providence. And we have with us Der Stepan Baljan, who is the pastor of St. Gregory Church of North Andover. Brothers, welcome to the podcast. I guess I will start with you, Der Antranik. You have been a priest in our church, in the Armenian church, for how long now?
This is my 40th year.
That's a big milestone. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you have been attending these clergy conferences probably for the past 40 years?
Yes.
Tell us about the beginnings. How did this thing start?
I remember coming back from my studies in the seminary as a young deacon, and at the end of 1974, and it was His Holiness of Blessed Memory, Catechin Catholicos. At that time, he was our prelate, who had this beautiful idea of getting all the clergy of our prelacy together in one place. That would have been in 1975 in February. And the first one of these gatherings took place in Springfield, Massachusetts, at St. Gregory Church in Indian Orchard. And I had the honor to attend as a deacon. And we found that quite interesting because we had a bishop and we had some celibate priests and married priests, and there were actually two deacons present as well. It kind of mirrored the actual makeup of the Revontian priests that whose feast we celebrate, because there was the Catholicos, bishops, celibate clergy, married clergy, as well as two deacons. They were involved in the preservation of the Christian faith in Armenia, just as were the soldiers of that time who were under the command of St. Vartan the Brave. They did not fight on the battlefield, but they provided support to the troops with their spiritual counseling, with the Badarak that took place on the eve of the Battle of Avarayr. They were eventually arrested, rounded up, thrown into prison, underwent horrible tortures so that they would convert, they would deny their faith. And they had special interrogators sent and torturers to try to get them to go back to the ancient Zoroastrian religion, which the Armenians belonged to prior to the adoption of Christianity. And one of the stories that I love most about the whole Revontians experience is the fact that the chief of the Magi at that point, who were the Zoroastrian priests, who was sent to convert the priests, the Christian priests, to Zoroastrianism, saw their bravery and their great faith, and in fact became a Christian and is considered one of the martyrs of the Revontian saints. Of course, because the major figure of this whole episode in our history was not the Catholicos, were not any of the bishops or other priests, it was Saint Revont, who was a simple parish priest, albeit a very educated and brave priest. He was a simple parish priest, and he led the rebellion that took place, the popular rebellion against the Persians. He played a very prominent role in organizing rebellion against the Persians, getting the powers that be, Saint Vartan and his officers, who had actually renounced Christianity when they went to the capital, Ctesiphon. It's said in history that they renounced their faith so that they would be let go, so that they could come back to Armenia. But he played an important role in organizing with Vartan and the other powerful governmental and military figures, this uprising that took place against the Persians, which led to the ultimate defeat of the Armenian troops, who lost the battle, but eventually won the war.
Oftentimes, when we celebrate the Feast of Vartanants, we focus on Saint Vartan, and the feast which will be celebrated this Thursday, but we kind of forget, or I'm talking about the average parishioner in any parish. They don't know what's the feast of Saint Revont and the priest, and it is for this reason to celebrate that spirit of bravery and the spirit of Christian faith that our ancestors, and especially Saint Revont the priest, had, is why we come together once a year and we have our clergy conference. And part of what we do here is to celebrate the feast through church services, but also to learn about new things, different things, and to also celebrate the presence of each other as brothers in Christ. This year, we are also, as part of our clergy conference, we spoke about the year of service that has been declared by His Holiness Aram I. And my next question is to you there, Stepan. You presented spiritual meditation this morning about the theme of service. What can you tell our listeners about the declaration of His Holiness Aram I?
Thank you, Derhaj. As you mentioned, our Catholicos, His Holiness Aram I, has declared this year to be the year that we reflect upon and focus upon and find out different ways that we can improve upon service. Now, as we know, the term service, or even the idea of service, can take on many different attributes. And so we took it upon ourselves as our task, along with our prelate, with Sir Bazan Hyde, to think about different ways that we can serve and that we can encourage service among our people. And that, like I said, takes on many different forms. And yes, indeed, Even during our short sermons or meditations during our church services, we have been reflecting about service. Yesterday's meditation was about what it means to serve the Lord, according to the text of the 100th Psalm, which says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness." And I was given the task of taking a look at what it means to call the Son of God, the promised Messiah, or Jesus Christ, a servant. As it says in the prophecy of Isaiah, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight." And indeed, the scriptures, our hymns, our church tradition points to Jesus Christ as a servant. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in his letter to the Philippians that even though he was in very nature equal to God, he humbled himself and became like a servant, took on the form of a servant. And indeed, we see that that's a very central message to how we understand our Lord and how we understand our faith, and by extension, how we understand our relationship to each other as men and women of God. The fundamental idea has to be that service is the road on which our church and our people must travel, and service must be the destination as well. Service must be our goal. And these were the words of His Holiness, Catholicos Adam I, in his message that he transmitted to all the prelacies all throughout the world. And so I hope that your listeners can rest assured to sleep with light hearts tonight, knowing that their clergy, their leadership is truly engaging with and thinking about the idea and the actualization of service in the life of the Armenian church and people.
I think what you're saying is very important, because a lot of our parishioners do not know what happens here. They think that we're away for 2 or 3 days, away from our parishes, from our offices. And they have to know that we come here to rejuvenate and get the spiritual strength that we need to continue our missions in our parishes. Besides the message of His Holiness Adam I about his declaration of 2016 as the year of service, we had also a beautiful presentation by Judge David Erickson from Chicago, who spoke about various issues that we as clergy can face and what are some of the legal implications. And I found that to be very interesting and very enriching. Tonight, we're recording, this is a Tuesday evening. Tonight, we'll have the celebration of the Divine Liturgy. There are more sessions coming tomorrow morning. I know I will be speaking about social media and the ways that we can reach out to our parishes using the internet and the various opportunities that the modern technology provide to us. And I hope that overall, this will be a very positive experience for us, the participating clergy. But that being said, there, Stepan, I would like to ask you, what's your favorite part of this type of a gathering?
I think my favorite part of being here at the Remontians Clergy Conference, as well as our other gatherings throughout the year, is being with my spiritual brothers. It, for me, is an inspiration just to be in their presence, more so than just the exchange of ideas or the lectures that we have or some of the programs that we undertake while we're here. For me, what's most important is the fellowship, the camaraderie. As you mentioned just a little while ago, it's a time that it takes us out of our daily routine and our parish work and our offices, which sometimes can be a little hectic. But the reality is that throughout the year, all of us are very busy working, tending to our flocks and serving our people. And it's very difficult for us to make the time to come together. So even in a sort of a more official setting, we still have this opportunity to travel. And sometimes the travel depends on which church the meeting is at and which parish that each priest is at. Sometimes it's more of a trip for others for certain years, and
because it's winter, sometimes there's weather that doesn't cooperate. I know that for my first 5 years, I served at a parish in Illinois, and I had to fly to every single clergy gathering several times a year. And now I'm happy to say that for almost 2 years now, I have not even been to an airport.
I'm sure you have a lot of miles to use.
I am completely flight free for over a year and a half, which has been a nice break. But just an example, you, Der Nareg, I consider you to be one of my closest friends and my brother.
I'm honored to hear that.
But the reality is that you being in New York and my being in my outpost in northeastern Massachusetts, it's very rare that we have an occasion to come together and to catch up, to share stories, to share our wisdom, practical advice with each other, and talk about anything from family life to pastoral issues or whatever it is. And I think that this Hebontians Clergy Conference affords us a great opportunity to gather as brothers.
Not to mention the little jokes that we crack.
You crack more jokes than I do, and your jokes are funnier.
Thank you.
I want your listeners to know that.
Thank you, Derek. Now, when we transmit this episode of the podcast, it will be Thursday when the Armenian Church and the Armenian nation celebrates one of our most important feasts, the Feast of Saint Vartan the Warrior, Kach Vartan. And we have with us Der Gomidas, who is the pastor of Saint Vartanan Church in Providence. Derhard, tell our listeners about this very important feast.
Thank you, Derhard. Der Antranig very eloquently explained Hebontians feast and they're interconnected, both of course the Hebontians and the Vartanans, as we celebrate both these days, remembering a very important part of Armenian history, a pivotal point, you may say, where it could have turned the whole nation, into another direction. But thank God that we did have these brave men and clergy who encouraged Vartan, the commander, and his army, to take on this overwhelming Persian army who came against them. And even though the odds were so incredible, where I think we had 66,000 and they had maybe three times as much, including elephants, and you know, it was maybe you may consider them the tanks of that day. And with all those, all that against us, we still, even though we lost the war, as Dharantran explained, we still, we won because we kept our faith. Once Armenians accepted Christ, they could not ever turn back to Zoroastrianism or any form of paganism. It was just impossible because Christ had come into their lives and he had transformed them in a way that is miraculous, of course, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they would never, ever consider going back. And thank God, even throughout history, all Christianity, I have so much respect for the Christians that went through so much to keep the faith. And I thank our fathers in the Armenian nation, the fathers that continued the faith, that today we continue and try to also bring it to the next generation, because it's truly a life that gives us hope, eternal hope, that no other religion could ever offer.
Amen. Dergomidas, what do you think the message of this feast is to the Armenians who live here today? This battle took place such a long time ago, and this is something that we celebrate every year. We celebrate with pride, with having the strong conviction that this was a very pivotal point in our history. What's the message today to our listeners?
The idea of celebrating saints, Derar, is to take example from them, their faith, how they are willing to even give their own lives for the faith. There was nothing more important for them than that. And that's the message, that imagine what they went through and all the advantages that we have here in this wonderful country of America. And sometimes we don't even are not willing to open the Bible on a daily basis. We're not willing to always be in church and follow our faith to its deepest, you know, point. So when we see an example like this, it just, I think it should encourage us. Saints are the heroes of Christianity, and we have to follow them, their example, and try to live up to that standard that they had set for us.
Thank you, Derhair. Now, speaking back about the clergy conference, the Remontians conference this year, I think I want to commend the great work that the host parish did, and I'm sure that my clergy brothers agree with me. Der Mikhail, this is your first experience hosting an event like this. Tell us, how did you prepare so well to host a wonderful clergy conference?
Well, first, thank you, Derhair, for having me on your podcast. It was a couple of months ago, actually, Oshagan Sarpazan, our prelate, called and asked what I thought about our church, Surpasfazadin, hosting this year's Remontians clergy conference. And I immediately, without giving any thought to it, said, yes, we'd be honored to, Surpazan Haid. And then I realized afterward that I hadn't approached anyone, the board, the ladies' guild, and I just accepted. And of course, I met with the Board of Trustees and the Ladies Guild, and they too, with excitement, were honored and said yes immediately. And we began preparations. In all honesty, it wasn't hard work, but it takes cooperation. We had to come together, and this was a good opportunity for this little community to come together and work. And we have the men and women behind the scenes, even working for the banquet, the dinner banquet this evening, to put it all together. They're working together. And it's good because they are understanding also what teamwork is. Although we are a small community, I thank God that everyone in this community is filled with the hope of Jesus Christ. And that's what's bringing us together. And it's good for them to see
what the clergy conference is about, what Remontiens is about, to be educated. Because we are, being a small community, not having that many Armenians in a small community, it hurts us.
Tell us about this community. As I said, this is my first visit to your community. What can you tell us about Surpasvazin Church in Whitesville?
Well, this church originally, I mean, Armenians moved here back in the 1912s, early 1900s, and they all worked, it's a mill town, they worked in the factory, and they all attended the Congregational Church. And then in the 1950s, the person who's this town, the town is named after, Paul Whiten, they gifted the church this parcel of land to the Armenian community, and it was under the understanding that they are to build a church on the land within 10 years, or they would revert the land back to the mill. And that was their dream, to have an Armenian church. So having the land, they started the fundraising process. In 1957, this church was built and consecrated without a mortgage. They paid for it. And it has always been a rich community as far as heart and soul of the Armenian church. And that is today, of course, in this 21st century, it's hard to keep that going. But by the grace of God, people are still coming to church, they're still worshiping, and they're still keeping their Armenian identity.
Yeah, Serpazan spoke yesterday about this community, and he mentioned that a lot of work was done here by your predecessors, Der Aram. And I'm sure that you are continuing the same work with renewed energy. And we've witnessed that basically happening here in the past couple of days. And the banquet that you had not only here in the church, but also you hosted us in your house. And that was a wonderful time that we all enjoyed yesterday. And this puts a lot of pressure on me, because the next gathering is taking place in St. Sarkis Church in May as part of the National Representative Assembly. And prior to the assembly, we'll have a short clergy conference. And I hope that all my clergy brothers will be visiting our parish, St. Sarkis Church. And it will be an opportunity for our parishioners to come and see the Der Hires and the Hiresubs who are serving the Armenian prelacy in various parishes.
May I add something there, Marek?
Absolutely, my friend.
This is Stefan speaking again. I just wanted to also commend Der Mikael for the wonderful job that he did in organizing the Remontiens Clergy Conference, considering that he has never attended a Remontiens Clergy Conference.
I missed that. That's absolutely right.
Because if you remember, because of the 100th anniversary of the genocide last year, we did not have the Remontiens Conference. And so, very commendable job.
Thank you, my dear brothers.
On a separate note, going back to St. Sarkis Church, this week we are celebrating our annual Valentine's Dinner Dance. I have one of the organizers, Mrs. Janet Tutuyan, who has sent me a voice message about the event this week. Take a listen.
Hey there, podcast listeners. Looking for something fun to do this weekend? Come join us at the 8th Annual Valentine's Party, sponsored by the St. Sarkis Young Adults. This year's party features music by the great Zare Kasparian, and DJ Shant will be spinning your favorite American pop hits. We've added some fun features, including a candy table for your sweet tooth and a party photo booth to capture some great memories with friends and family. As always, we'll have delicious food, fabulous cocktails, and of course, exciting raffles. So whether you're single and ready to mingle, or committed and ready to party, this event will keep you smiling and dancing. The party starts at 8 p.m. on Saturday, February 6th in Chadarjan Hall. Tickets are still available through the church office at 718-224-2275. See you there.
Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's reading is from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. And there, Stepan will do the reading.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father?
The word of the Lord. It's very interesting there, Stepan. We were just talking about disciplining children this afternoon, and here we read the same ideas in the letter to the Hebrews. This is a powerful reading, and I'm assuming the reason that this has been selected for this day is to celebrate the feast of Saint Vartan and his companions, who kept their eyes on Jesus, and they were willing to give their lives for their faith. What caught your attention, brothers, from this reading? Der Antranik, I guess we can start with you, because you're the senior in this group.
Couple of things. The opening passage, that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, this refers to all of the saints, who, and especially the martyrs, who have given their lives as witnesses to the faith. They paid the ultimate price. They didn't just sit there and say, okay, I believe, I'm a Christian. They actually backed that up with their lives, in the sense that they lived their lives that way, and they gave their lives for that.
It's interesting, the use of the word cloud.
Mm.
When you think about it, the cloud can surround something, embrace something, and the way that this word is used here, it feels like saints are not people who are far away from us. They're right there. We just need to...
Looking over our shoulders.
Yes.
Every minute.
Open to embrace their presence.
If I can just add, the term cloud to me is very simply a spatial term. I don't think that we can ignore the liturgical aspect of the letter to the Hebrews.
Of course, you are the expert in liturgy, and you have to bring that aspect.
Absolutely. Well, because at one glance, the letter to the Hebrews is all about the temple worship of the Jews and the Mosaic law, and how that is reaches its fulfillment, its perfection, as we call Jesus, through the one true final high priest, and that's Jesus Christ. And I personally, I read this passage as the worship of the early Christians, being surrounded indeed, not just theoretically, but being surrounded by the relics and the bones of the saints, by their iconography, their pictures, in their early worship. And I believe that's what we still do today when we come into the church and we have the pictures of the saints hanging on the wall. It's a reminder, it's a physical reminder that truly these words come to life. They come off the page.
Not to mention the clouds of incense that
that's right.
Surround
sometimes
us.
Bothers some of our worshipers.
We are in a cloud.
Yes.
Der Gomidas.
What stands out to me is that verse 7 where it says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? We see what I love about Christ's teachings, or what he prepared his disciples to do, is he never painted a rosy picture. he told them from the beginning that there will be hardship, there will be difficulties, difficult times. And sometimes when we go through these hardships, discipline is required of us, and God puts us through it, you know, with a gentle Holy Spirit, the way he corrects us, you know, when we're off track, is so beautiful, so gentle, and yet in the same time so powerful that we never want to disappoint our Heavenly Father, because we are sons in His kingdom, we are His children. And I always believe that we have to come to a point as Christians that whatever is offensive to God should become offensive to us, that we would never even want to go there.
Because of that child to father relationship, right?
Yes. Yeah. That we do, we want to please our Father. It's not that His discipline doesn't mean that He's sitting there with a big stick that to hurt us every time we do something wrong, but He transforms us to a point where we want to please Him, and whatever is displeasing to God should become displeasing to us, where eventually we don't even want to go there.
That's a great point there, Gomidas, because I think when we speak about discipline, there's always that negative connotation to it. Sometimes we think that discipline is something bad. It's a consequence, you know, when our children are not behaving, we tend to discipline them. But we also know that in the spiritual life, discipline is something very positive. It's proactive, not reactive. You have to discipline yourself, to instruct yourself in a way to face all the temptations and a life of virtue. And that's what the author of this letter speaks in what we read. Dear Mikhail, what do you find interesting in what we read? What do you want to talk about?
Many, many years ago, when I was working and my employer was upset with me and she disciplined me also very vocally, and I was worried that I was going to lose my job. And her response was, "When I yell at you, it's because I care about you. Don't worry. Worry more when I say nothing." So when we're going through hardships, or when the Lord is rebuking us, disciplining us, it's because He wants us to be on the straight path, on the road to salvation. He's taking us off the wrong track and putting us on the right track. And often people look at it as a bad thing, and like you said, Deadhide, it's a positive thing, because for God to rebuke us, what does that say about how much He really loves us and cares for us, that He wants us to straighten up?
You spoke about the right track, and I would like to conclude by saying that our forefathers, Saint Raymond the priest and his companions, Saint Vartan, Kachvartan and his companions, gave their lives so that we as a nation will try to live on the right track. And today, as we celebrate their feast, I think the biggest message is that we need to be faithful to that track, to that tradition that we and our forefathers have lived in the Armenian Church. I'd like to extend an invitation to all my listeners to learn more about their faith, to learn more about Saint Vartan, Saint Revond, and all the saints who shaped our history and also our spiritual life. Today's hymn is called Nor Ahrash. This is a hymn that we sing to celebrate the legacy of Saint Vartan. I will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I would like to thank my clergy brothers who helped me preparing this episode today, from the sanctuary of St. Asvadazin Church in Whitensville, Massachusetts. I would like to thank our sponsors and my producer, Mr. Greg Doster. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be always in your hearts. Amen. Oh,
Today's podcast is brought to you by Glasscott Funeral Homes. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode, please contact the church office at 718-224-2275.